This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Is Kevin from Metal Shop, and I'm talking right now with Dennis McCullough, vocalist, guitarist for a band called Ghost Bath, one of the founding members. Now, I have to point out your t-shirt: depressive, suicidal, and what's the bottom part?
Black metal.
Depressive, suicidal, black metal. So if you're curious about what kind of music this guy's into, it's the Ghost Bath shirt, right?
Yep. I just got him in today. So I took a shower. I threw it on from our merch company because our album comes out tomorrow. So
exactly.
I just got a big box of shirts in. So,
hey, that's the best way to do laundry is just open up a new box and pop it on.
Yep. There you go.
And hey, man. So we do have to mention the album is out tomorrow, Self-Loather. And by the time you hear this, the album will already be out. So you can check it out. You can order it. You can stream it. And you can buy it from Nuclear Blast. You can buy it from the band. They have their own band camp. Again, Self-Loather is out now. So Dennis, from the band, what's it been like talking with people like me about an album that we probably haven't even heard yet? How do you even go into that? You kind of have to like hype it up, but like kind of wait, I guess, for people to weigh in on it.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, some people I've talked to had like gotten sent the album first. And so, usually it's just based on, you know, the singles we've put out. It's kind of what they base that on. And we tried to put out the songs that sort of encapsulate like what the whole album's about, the mood, the atmosphere of what you're going to hear on the album. So
you guys are a band from North Dakota originally. Are you right there right now? Or are you in North Dakota?
No, I just bought a house in Pittsburgh. So I'm in my brand new office here on the East Coast. The rest of the members all live in Minneapolis still.
Oh, great. Well, congratulations on the new place, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Moving's a lot of work, but I think we're finally kind of settled in here. So
nice. Right on, man. Well, so I was curious about kind of this past 18, 19 months, you know, what were you guys in the process of writing or recording before the pandemic, or was this 100% a pandemic project?
So our last tour was at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. And our plan was to write a new album. And so we had written Convince Me to Bleed, the first single that came out in, I think, December 2019. So that was kind of right when COVID started coming up in like China, like we started hearing about it over there. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously it like hit here hard, and we were kind of in the middle of writing, and it just like threw everything for a loop. And you know, I lived an eight-hour drive away from Minneapolis. And so it was just a matter of sending files back and forth or driving out there to see them. And I would just, you know, I'd go to the gas station and just make a straight shot for it. So, you know, I wasn't around the public and people and stuff. And then we'd go to our practice space and work on the album. We just took our time on it because we knew we couldn't tour right away. And so, yeah, we just took our time and wrote it basically through the whole pandemic and recorded it through the pandemic.
So you're starting, you know, you had written a couple songs or a song before this, and then the world locks down. You're driving out to Minnesota or Minneapolis rather, Minneapolis specifically. And, you know, there's been a lot of things going on in this world, obviously globally with the pandemic. And then, you know, even here in the United States with a lot of political upheaval and even in Minnesota with the death of George Floyd, what was how much of these kind of things factored or even influenced or, you know, impacted the writing of the music or even specifically the lyrics? Was there any impact on it from those kind of things?
You know, like thematically or idea wise, I would say no. Usually my music comes from, you know, internal thoughts and feelings and emotions. And so things that are going on like externally don't usually play a part, at least for my Ghost Bath project. And, you know, if anything, everything you just mentioned just gave us a little bit more time to think about the record, gave us a little bit more time to, you know, to edit parts, to go back and forth on stuff. Because usually, I mean, with the last albums, I was the only one who wrote the music on it, and I would do it in, you know, a week or whatever per album. So it's super condensed process. So this one was like completely spread out, and it just changed how we wrote it, but I don't think it changed what we wrote, if that makes sense.
So luckily you'll spare us from the extremely dated songs about COVID-19 or the quarantine that are going to be dated in like 6 months, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, the album could sort of capture that feeling though, but it's more in a broader sense of, you know, isolation and stuff like that. So maybe people will, you know, connect with it more for that reason, just because, you know, they've been locked up or more alone than usual. And so maybe they'll connect with the themes of this album a little bit more than they would have without the pandemic.
So you, you know, have stated, and this is the final album in a trilogy that started in 2015. And I was curious, you know, and this might be kind of an open-ended question, but what does the end of this trilogy mean to you personally, and what does it represent from the band and from the artist's perspective?
You know, I would say it's, you know, like closing a chapter, but I guess it's like closing three books. You know, it's just, I don't know. I had planned it since the beginning when I wrote Moonlover. I knew what each album kind of was going to be about. Cool. And I was going to, you know, write three albums for sure. And it was just, you know, setting goals for myself and setting sort of a plan. And now that that's done, I think, you know, I'm in a way different place in life and with the band than I was when I first started it.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm on a label, I'm touring around and stuff like that. And so I think now it just means, you know, we're kind of open-ended. We can go in any direction we want. We don't have any like predetermined ideas for any albums. And so, you know, the next thing we write, I think could go in any direction. And so that's kind of exciting. I don't know.
All right. Right on, man. Well, do you think you'll ever try to embark on another quest of doing like a trilogy or a double, you know, album or whatever that may be? Do you think that's something that you're interested in embarking on again, or you think you want to approach it on just do like single album ideas?
As far as doing another trilogy, I'm writing one. I'm writing a fantasy trilogy. Oh, so there's there that. But as far as music, I think I like doing series of stuff, and I've done that a lot in different genres. I've done that in the genre of vaporwave a few times where, wow, you know, you listen to every album and they're all part of the same big thing. But I think for Ghost Bath now, I'm more interested in single albums.
Cool.
At least from now on, that might change. But yeah, I think the idea would be more like, you know, a standalone album next.
Cool. Right on. Well, I'm curious. So coming up in North Dakota, I'm curious, is that where you were raised?
Yep. Yep. Awesome. I was on a Air Force base in North Dakota. So kind of a weird mini culture within a different culture. You know what I mean?
So were you influenced? Was there, you know, growing up and getting into music, was there a local music scene for you, or did you have to look outward for, you know, online or at the record store?
Oh, there is a pretty good music scene. It was a lot of punk for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot of post-hardcore bands, mm-hmm, Midwest emo bands. Yeah. And I think all those really influenced how I write and stuff. And you know, a lot of the melody and kind of the wall of sound and the noisiness that I like, either live or in the Ghost Bath albums, I think all comes from going to shows back then and, you know, looking up to those kinds of bands. I mean, the whole reason I even use a Telecaster and like an Orange amp and everything is just those were like what were popular in the scene here. Sure. And so, you know, I got those ideas and then I just brought them over to black metal. As far as like big shows, there was nothing around me. So I never saw like any giant bands. Like I wouldn't go see like Trivium or whoever. They just wouldn't come through my area. True. So it was more smaller acts. And yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the biggest band that came through, like maybe Fear Before the March of Flames. Okay. And they're not that big. So
they had a moment though.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you're influenced by this stuff, this hardcore, this Midwestern emo, you know, this post-hardcore. But then where did the black metal come in? What was your first foray into, you know, this classically, I guess you would say, like European style of music? Obviously, there's a huge, you know, United States black metal movement. But where did this stuff start to kind of seep its way into your life?
I mean, I'd always kind of listened to some black metal alongside everything that I named.
Yeah.
It was never like at the shows or anything like that. So it wasn't live bands. Like I remember Dimmu Borgir and Dark Throne. I'd like had their albums on my iPod or Zune or whatever I had at the time. But I'm trying to, I mean, the whole reason I started Ghost Bath was because of Agalloch. I picked up their album Marrow of the Spirit at the record store just on a whim. I like saw the cover art. I was like, oh, I should check this out. And when I like popped it in to hear it, I was like, holy, never heard anything like this before. And it just like blew my mind. And I was like, this is awesome because it's like the melody and like the chords that I really like and chord changes, but it's also like dark, which I like basically everything I make ends up dark for some reason. And just like the blast beats, and it was intense. So I was just like, oh, this is what I want to do now. So that's kind of the spark of it. And it must have been right around when that album came out. I can't remember if it was 2012, 2011, something like that.
Sounds about right. Yeah, I remember that. I think that was their last album.
They had one more after that.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I got into them pretty late, even though I like all their older stuff now that I've gone back and looked. But I think they had one more as like The Serpent, The Sphere, something like that. Mm. Yeah.
My first introduction into that style of music was this kind of small side project from Alcest called Amiswah. And I don't know what it was. It was like this was during like the MediaFire download, you know, years where you could just Google any words with MediaFire. And so I got that album and it just opened me up until this world. And then I just did digging and you know, obviously, and then that leads us to here. So I am curious about, you know, so some people will, you know, you always have to kind of, you know, micro, you know, genreize things. So people will use the terms black gaze, post black metal, things to describe Ghost Bath. What do you personally feel about like genre descriptors and things like that as an artist, as a musician? How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's not something I like argue about or mm-hmm. or get mad about or anything like that. For me, I think it says more about the person listening to it than the actual musicians creating it, because sure. it depends what experience you have with music beforehand is what you're going to compare it to. For me, calling it black gaze is a little weird to me because I've never listened to shoegaze, and that's like sure. not really my influence at all. So
yeah,
that's not really what I went for. To me, I think more of my influence comes from post-hardcore and depressive suicidal black metal, which is yeah. kind of the idea of the band. You know, I heard Agalloch, and then at kind of around the same time I discovered Silencer and depressive suicidal black metal, and I kind of tried to combine it in my own way. Obviously, I was probably just really bad at trying to sound like Agalloch, because I don't think we do. But, you know, I think that's just my voice coming through. So it's just my take on Agalloch and depressive black metal, you know.
Yeah.
So if you had to ask me, like, what subgenre are you, I would say, you know, DSBM. But okay. It's interesting, because, like, you can, if I call it that, you're going to look at it differently or listen to it differently mm-hmm. than if I was like, oh, this is post-black metal, then you're going to listen to it a different way. So. Yeah, whatever. The lens I want you to look at it through is depressive black metal, if I had to pick.
I love the idea of like a casual fan of like Pantera and Judas Priest clicking on this interview and being like, I don't know. And then just like having another browser up, just like ready to like Google search all of these terms. So
oh, yeah,
we should have a genre key, like just like with like a key to all these different links to like, here's your just, you know what, this interview right now might be the thing that gets people into that stuff and gets people into Ghost Bath and stuff. So you never know. I'm curious about, so if you're having a crappy day and, you know, you need to, you know, get yourself back into a good place, do you listen to depressive suicidal black metal, or do you want to bring it up a little bit, or do you just kind of want to wash it over with more, you know, depressive suicidal black metal?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So a lot of people don't understand, but I definitely dwell and listen to the saddest, most yeah. music I can find, basically. Yeah. Or I write it. Like a big, big point of catharsis for me is just picking up a guitar and just playing.
Yeah.
When I'm feeling like that. But yeah, I'll pop in like depressive black metal,
yeah,
some sad vaporwave. I really like Transylvanian Hunger for some reason when I'm feeling like that. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that record. And either people get it or they don't. Like, I've had people like, well, why do you like play all this like sad music? Doesn't it make you feel bad? I'm like, it's the opposite. I don't know, for me anyway. Yeah. And I get a lot of, you know, messages, emails, people coming up to me at shows saying like, oh, this like really helped me through a tough time. Or yeah. even today I just talked to somebody, they're like, oh, Moon Lover, like it got me through 2015 alive or something. I'm like,
yeah.
So there's something about that. I don't know what it is. It's like allows you to contemplate on it, to kind of work through it. Maybe, I don't know.
Channel that negative energy and stuff into something, creating something that might other, you know, help kind of bring people back into that, and instead of acting on that in like a negative or like, you know, really bad way, you know, you can create this art that can help other people, and maybe it's like therapy for everyone. So
yeah, sure.
So I'm curious about, you know, your new album's coming out, and it's out on Nuclear Blast now, and you can check it out. Self-Loather is the name of it. And As a musician, as an artist, how much attention do you pay to reviews and critics and stuff? Do you try to stay away from it, or do you pay close attention to it, or kind of in the middle?
Oh, that's funny. I have like 20 tabs open right now of all these reviews I just found.
Okay.
But the point of them was just, I'm just going to like post them just for content or whatever.
Sure,
just
yeah,
to,
you
know,
promote, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to promote the band. That's kind of how I see them, or just like marketing type stuff. Like
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, like, I just don't respect a lot of music journalists just from what I've seen in my experience with them. And so I don't really take their, whatever they have to say too seriously. Sure. I'd rather, you know, somebody at a show talking to me like face to face.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know. You know, I write the music for me. It's like for my catharsis, my passion, whatever. I'm not like trying to make the best album in the world that like the most people will like or anything like that. So I don't know. I know my music's not for everyone. And I knew that when I wrote the first EP and like my whole band that I had just quit because they thought it was, the vocals were ridiculous and no one would like it and people would make fun of it. So yeah, I don't know. We're polarizing and I like that though. So, you know, if I see a really strong bad review or a really strong good review, I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Move on, right?
Bother me.
Keep making your stuff. So I personally used to write reviews in I was a journal or, you know, quote unquote music journalist. And you know, I would write reviews and I kind of did some thinking on it and contemplating and kind of started to feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's that I'm not that great of a writer, but more so I was just thinking about, you know, I'm not a musician. I've never, you know, I've tried to tinker around with the guitar and stuff, but I've never done a band. I've never toured. I've never put out a record. So I just felt kind of uncomfortable criticizing others' art or maybe kind of, you know, reviewing that when I've never done it myself. So
that reminds me of this quote I just heard. Never take criticism too seriously from someone you wouldn't want to take advice from. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, I have no shame on people who do and stuff, but from my perspective, I just felt like, you know, I'm just going to promote bands that I dig. And, you know, that's what I, you know, I'm more of a champion of stuff than a critic, I'd feel at this point. So I don't know.
I mean, I see the appeal because you know, if you find like a reviewer kind of shares your, what you like, maybe it'll help, you know, there's so much music out there. It can kind of narrow stuff down for you. You'd be like, oh, sure. Well, you know, this guy likes this album. So maybe I'll check it out, that kind of thing. But I don't know. I would never, I mean, same with movies, same with books, anything else. Like I would never just take somebody's word on it. If I'm interested in it, I'll just check it out myself. So
some of my favorite movies are like known as like terrible movies. I was like,
exactly.
Is it good? I guess not. Do I love it? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, man. Well, you know, just kind of winding down here, do you guys have a plan to, you know, go out and tour on this record in 2022 as things start to open up?
I hope so. We don't have anything confirmed and we've been trying. It's hard, you know. Yeah. You never know when things are going to get shut down, canceled. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been seeing lately a lot of bands, like, they'll book a tour and then they'll be like, oh no, we'd rather do this, and they'll like just cancel it on their own. For some reason that's been happening a lot lately.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, people who already had tours together for this year or last year, just pushing it into 2022. Mm-hmm. It's like, can we jump on that? It's like, nope, right. They already got the lineup. So yeah, we're trying to figure something out. It'd be great to tour, you know, US, Europe, wherever we can get. So hopefully, I don't know.
We'll learn the music. As far as a fan, just listen to the record, pick up the album. Again, Self-Loather is the name of the record, the third in a trilogy. So start at 2015 and move up to this one. My last question for you is a question we like to ask every artist we talk with. Pick a scar on your body, tell us the story, and show us, if you can, of how you got it.
A scar on my body.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thinking, do I even have, I think I have like a, it's probably very hard to see. There's okay. There's a tiny scar right here.
Yeah.
It's the only one I could think of right now. Or actually, what about, does this count? My,
sure. Yeah.
My birthmark.
Okay.
It's a pretty big,
yeah.
Big scar. It's my whole side of my face. It's something called Serge Weber syndrome. And I was, it's you know, you're born with it. Basically, when you're in the womb, you get a bunch of capillaries that are like tightly wound to make your brain, and then they're supposed to kind of go away. But if you have Serge Weber syndrome, they like don't go away. So there's like a bunch of blood capillaries in my face still, and
it kind of just looks like rosacea or whatever that's called.
Yeah, sometimes it gets darker, sometimes lighter. I think like if the blood's in there, you know, most people who have it actually get like seizures or like die. Wow. Or glaucoma or like like neurological disorders, because it's oh, all crap. Like right in your face and brain. Wow. But for some reason I have like none of that. I got the only like symptom I got of it was the giant birthmark on my face. So I don't know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I had the option to like try to remove it. I think it was kind of like a laser surgery, like you would remove a tattoo.
Sure.
Like they're like fired in your face. And
that sounds brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, they're like, oh, it just feels like, you know, someone taking a rubber band and snapping it constantly in your face. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. But yeah, my parents are like, so did you want to like try to remove it? And I don't remember how old I was. I was probably 12 or something. Yeah. I don't know. But I told them like, no, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my scar. Or, yeah.
I like it, man. Right on. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat and even answer some kind of odd questions like that. Again, Dennis Makula from the band Ghost Bass, Self-Loather is out now. So pick it up. Do you have any final words for the Northwest and the Seattle audience?
Yeah. Hope to be out there soon to play for you guys. Check out the album, play it on Halloween.
Yes, I like it. Right on, man. All right. Thanks so much for the interview, Dennis. I'll take it easy, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one, man. Bye.
You too. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.